I was born here, obviously. I was told that I was one of the first children born up at the community hospital. But I've at least home-based here my entire life. I went to the University of Minnesota, and I've worked in Pelican and Naknek and a few other places around, spent some time down in the Caribbean, but always, you know, I say home-based out of Sitka, and then I believe in 97 is when I permanently moved back to Sitka, and I've been here ever since.
What made you decide to run for assembly?
Momentary insanity? Well, as you may know, as you know, I was on the assembly for two terms before. And, you know, it's a bit of a learning process in the, on the learning and the assembly. And while I think I did some good on the assembly, there were some things I do differently now, but I think that there's a need for some, for lack of a better word, institutional memory on the assembly. And I had some people calling me, asking me to run, and I resisted for a while. I was really hoping that some other folks would step up, and nobody did. But I feel it's needed now. I think that we have been a bit, maybe a little bit aggressive as the assembly, as a city lately. We seem to be looking towards expanding city services, which is admirable. Everything that's been talked about has been things that at least a large portion of the population would like. However, at the same time, it seems like we've been making it harder to expand our tax base, making it harder for businesses to do business. Again, with understandable motives, but still, when you look at the overall picture, it seems like we're making it a little bit harder to do business in Sitka, and at the same time, we're trying to spend more money. And I would like to see us start to prioritize a bit more. One of the things we've done in the past when I was on the assembly is we sat down and wrote out a list of priorities. What, you know, talking about life safety first, you know, fire, police, roads, such, and schools, you know, and then you get down towards the bottom. And, there's really nothing that the city does that doesn't serve a purpose. However, we have everything in life, you have priorities. And right now, I know that we've been looking at the city department heads were asked to reduce their budgets, I believe 5 to 10%, depending on the department, across the board last year. And I think that we need to start at the beginning, before we even start the budget process, which is where the real work is done, the city, we need to let this city staff know what the assembly's priorities are. So that, for better or for worse, those things that are on the towards the bottom of the list are the ones that are looked at first for cuts. Also, along those same lines, I believe that right now, when we are looking at falling revenue, is not the time to be trying to expand anything. I think we need to work very hard to preserve what we have. We have, I think, one of the best city governments in the state that I've seen, and I'd like very much to keep that, to keep it running well, to keep it running smoothly, to keep the... to do the things that we are doing now well, rather than to try and dilute everything and just trying to limp along. Let's do what we do well and probably not at this point look towards expanding things. If we can keep things on an even keel, if we can keep the revenue flowing, if we can keep the businesses working, then maybe we can look at some of these things that, you know, that people have come up. But we need to watch our core first. And I think we've lost a little bit of that recently, again, with the best of intentions. I don't want to criticize people too much. But I feel that my previous time in the assembly, I know how to do the budget process now. I went through it 6 times. And like I said, it takes a few times before you really understand how it works. And I know most of the personalities involved, that I think that I can do that. I can work towards a balanced budget that's sustainable, that will allow for some of the projects that I think we have a lot of people in Sitka who are very ambitious and like to try new things. And I'd love to be able to do some of those things if we have the money.
This has been a flat budget year. What are some of the examples of places where you see the city expanding? You said you're concerned about that.
Well, I think that the obvious one, of course, is the Hame Center. I understand why I do it. I took my daughter to swimming lessons up there. It was wonderful. I've spent a lot of time up there. However, you know, we were talking last budget about moving money from roads and the amount of money that we spent from roads and cutting the budget everywhere else. And in my mind, if we're going to raise taxes, we've got things we need to do now that needs to cover. You know, we've got expansion happening whether we want it or not. I mean, according to the federal government, there's not much inflation right now, but I'm seeing some. Things always cost more, and we've got to, with these flat budgets, just holding steady where we're at is expanding. I know since I've been in the assembly, we've expanded the number of parks and things, which again is wonderful. But we need to be careful about how we expand it. And I think that any time we decide we're going to do something, whether it's something we're already doing or something that we want to do new, we need to say, where's the money coming from? And realize that it's a zero-sum equation. You know, right now we've got X number of dollars, and if we do one item A, item B is going to have to pay. And so that's where, again, I think the prioritizing will help us there, will give us a tool to where we know what we want. Right now, I think that's part of the problem. I don't think that the current assembly has done enough time saying, what do we really want? We used to call them, when Paxton was on the envisioning sessions. And that can go overboard. Don't get me, you can spend a lot of time, but a little bit of a visioning sessions are probably a good idea.
What experience or background, you mentioned your previous service on the assembly, but what other experiences and backgrounds do you bring to office?
Well, I was in the fish business for a long time, about 17 years, and then I got better. but I ran seafood plants. I was the production manager in Pelican for 3 years and ran a plant out in Naknek for a season. And before that, I ran some fresh programs for some other companies. So I've done some time in business there. I'm right now the resource manager at Southeast Region EMS, and I do purchasing and sales for medical supplies. And so I deal with various government agencies all over the state and the feds. So I've got a fair amount of time both as a, you know, as a vendor and as a consumer for government entities. And I also have been on the fire department now for about 13 years. I'm an EMT-3 there. I'm on the fire side. I'm the medic for the dive team. So, I mean, I interact a lot with the public safety community, and you get a good view of Sitka at 3 o'clock in the morning out on the street. So I'm also on the board of the Sitka Fine Arts Camp, and I've been volunteering for them for a few years. So I think I've been active here in Sitka. I know a lot of people in Sitka know me. More people in Sitka know me than I know them, I think. So just being a longtime Sitkan, I think, makes me at least a candidate for this job.
Let me take the question one further, from experiences and background to influences or okay. life experiences. What events in your life or influences in your life have led you to public service?
Well, I think I would safely say my parents, for starters. Both of my parents were very, and still are. My mother, I think it'd be easier to list the things that she's not involved in than the things that she is. My father, many people who've been in Sitka for a while remember him, and was the city attorney and for a number of years, and was very involved in a number of things around Sitka, including Raven Radio. I think he was instrumental in the Raven Radio starting. So from a very early age, it's been expected that we will do public service. I think a lot of it is just the experience of doing it. I know that as a fire on the fire department, I really enjoy being able to make a difference. It makes me feel, it gives validation to one's life. And my previous time in the assembly, well, no one time was, you know, rarely was it what I would call a good time. It was right, you know, sitting through a 6 or 7 hour meeting is never enjoyable. But at the end of the day, I often felt that I managed to make a difference. I managed to help. Sometimes I didn't. Sometimes some of the decisions, things I would probably do over or do differently. But overall, I felt like I left things better than when I started. And that's a good feeling. I've got two small children, and my wife are here, and I would very much like my children to be able to grow up in Sitka like I did. And I would very much like to have my daughter 30 or 40 years from now have people tell them about her father that like my people tell me about my father. And I would like to be able to do that.
You might have already answered this, but I want to ask it again just to be a little more specific or to drill down on it a little more. But times are pretty tight for the city. Mm-hmm. Sales tax revenues are down. The economy is sluggish. If you're elected, how do you go about addressing those circumstances?
I've got a few ideas. Throw out a few of them, and then I'll talk more about process, I think. One of the things I'd like to see happen is having the city try and do more to make Sitka business-friendly. And that's easy to say and hard to do.
Let's define business-friendly.
I was about to try to do that. Yeah. That's how we would do that. One of the things that, as a person who's run a business and at times, going to City Hall is hard for your average small business person. I mean, even if the people are wonderful and are trying to be helpful, it's painful to go through all the different regulatory and things you have to go through. So what I would like to see happen is making that process less painful and more transparent to the person coming off the street. I think it's very transparent to the people working there who know it, but I know that when I was on the assembly before, I worked very hard on trying to get the city to become more e-government, to allow people to do things online. I worked hard, pushed hard for that. One of the things I really pushed hard on was trying to get people to allow to pay their bills by the credit card, just so you could call it in. And that's happened, and that's made a big difference. I don't think you believe how much resistance there was to that for a very simple thing like that. So what I'd like to see us do is try and maybe identify somebody at City Hall who would be the point person for small businesses to go to. And that person would know everything that if I'm starting a business or have a business, what I need to have done. So that person could be, for lack of a better word, the ombudsman for business in Sitka, just to kind of shepherd them around the different offices they need to go to at City Hall to make sure that person can drop on their a list and say, here's my permits or whatever I need for this particular project. Do I have everything done? And that person can go through and say, here's what you need to go talk to Joe down here. Let me walk you down there. I think an ombudsman to make so that when somebody's trying to work a business in Sitka, their only contact isn't when the city's calling them up for their sales tax returns. I also would like to see the city going to bat when possible with our businesses, with the state and federal government, saying, hey, this is one of our businesses. What can we do to make it easier? How can we work, and when a mistake is made, and every business I've ever been involved with somehow gets in trouble with the government in one way or another, it happens. It's really hard. Very, very rarely is it intentional. Sometimes you just get too busy and you miss things, or sometimes you just didn't realize you were supposed to be doing something. And when something like that happens, rather than working as a punitive, you've been a bad business, to say, okay, how do we fix this? Let's try and work out a solution so that we get on the straight, back on the straight and narrow, and at the same time, without hurting that business, because every business from the single self-employed person to the Dow Marine or search that employ hundreds of people is vitally important to this town. And so, obviously, I don't expect to stop enforcing zoning regulations or things like that. But I think we can make it a lot less painful for businesses to do that. I know very few business people that object to actually complying with the laws. It's more just absolutely knowing what they are and knowing what they have to do and what they don't have to do and getting it done. And, I remember earlier I talked about trying to get a form that every department at the city would use. And so as a business, you'd fill out this one form, and if planning needed it, they'd grab it, and if finance needed it, they'd grab it, and so rather than having to fill one out for the finance, for your sales tax, for every department, you just fill out this one online, you're done. Yeah. And something like that. It's more making it easier to do business rather than saying, okay, we're going to be lowering taxes and just for businesses or something like that.
And so the easier the business climate, that ripples.
It ripples, yeah. And it makes the easier the business climate, you know, the more money people spend, the more money sales tax we get in, the more, you know, the more we can do, the more we can work on quality of life issues. You know, and we all want good, you know, quality of life issues here in Sitka. I mean, from the parks, the roads, you know, the various organizations around town that do things. I mean, from Sitka Folk to, you know, I love being able to go to concerts all winter long and things in Sitka, but we've got to have a vibrant economy to make that happen.
The last thing I think I want to ask you about is a theme that I've seen in the meetings over the last year or so. A lot of the issues the assembly votes on have come down to these overarching questions of, as an assembly member, do I vote with my own judgment or do I vote with the will of my constituents? And sometimes those two things find themselves in some conflict.
That's a tough one. I mean, and I was talking about being an assembly member, what you learn. One of the first things that happens when you're on the assembly is you get these situations, you know, come up where you have lots of people come up and speak on something. And one of the easy traps to fall into is saying that represents the will of Sitka. And what you need to realize is, no, that represents the will of the people who care about that, who have strong feelings about that subject. I've found, and it's unfortunate, that more often than not, if you're for something that's going to happen, they don't come down to the assembly meetings. If you're against it, you show up. And to a certain extent, I think the people who show up and get listened to a little bit more, which is probably right. But at the same time, you've got to have in the back of your head, who are my constituents? Are they the people who come down and talk, or is it everybody in Sitka? And, you know, you also need to, the fact is that every assembly member's phone rings off the hook. You get lots of emails. And so you need to judge all of that. So that said, at least on the assembly before, I tried, especially if I didn't have a super strong feeling about a subject, or if I had a leaning towards one way, but I felt, okay, it really appears that the majority of the people who I talk to and listen to and what I hear are not with me on this, I changed my vote. Now, that said, there are definitely things where you have strong moral or personal feelings about something where you think you just kind of have to go with the way that you're, so you can go to sleep at night. A hypothetical might be, say, where somebody really was after a city employee and I felt like he didn't really do anything wrong, but a lot of people didn't like what he did. I would maybe not go to reprimand or whatever. And that's not trying to think of any one thing, but I'm trying to think of a situation where my own personal morals would say, no, we just can't do that.
Yeah, so it, I guess it's not a hard and pat answer.
No, it can't be.
Yeah.
And I think that I would say that anybody who says it is a hard and pat answer, I wouldn't trust. At any one assembly meeting, look at the packet. I mean, you've got two or three pages of single-space lines of items that you're dealing with, and you've got to have a flexible mind. I consider myself to be a middle-of-the-road kind of guy. So, you know, you've got to be willing to look at it. Listen, can't tell you how many times I've had my opinion changed at the assembly table by people speaking or by other assembly members. No, you've got to look at each individual issue as its own entity and go from there. You know, one of the things to realize is that, again, that long list of items, you know, you're going to have one's going to have strong feelings about some of them and feelings about others, and there's going to be some that you don't have an opinion about, that you only have is the information in the packet and the people have talked to you about, and you've got to weigh it and make your call. And that's where I know especially when I was first in the assembly, I would look to experienced assembly members and say, guys, what are you thinking? You know about this longer than I have, and I would let them influence my decision.
There are a lot of situations in life, I think, for people who say, if I had it to do over again, and if you're elected, you will have it to do over again. So,
okay. So
what is that thing from your previous time on the assembly that is the, if I had it to do over again?
Well, I think of the hospital. I got tunnel vision. I'll be telling you, I still feel that we need to protect and keep our hospital going. But I think I got caught up in the process a bit. And probably a little bit of hubris there where I thought, if I could make the lead, we could get the hospital funded and have a steady stream of funding for the hospital, you know, for as long as it was needed. If I can leave the assembly with the hospital healthy for the foreseeable future and a steady source of funding for it, you know, I'll feel like I've done my job. And I probably bit off more than we could chew as an assembly. And we went at it, I think, a little too aggressively. If we'd have spent a little more time and willing to, you know, say, okay, well, what if it's just better off and not taken care of?
What happened?
What? Oh, we tried. We talked about raising. I guess it was property tax to provide a fund for the hospital, so it would have a steady source of funding. And like I said, I think I got caught up in the charge to try and fix it. My personality is I tend to say, okay, we got a problem. Let's fix it, and let's fix it forever, if we can. And sometimes that's a good thing. I think overall, personally, I think it's a good thing. However, sometimes you can charge a little too hard. And to a certain extent, I think maybe that's a little bit what the current assembly is doing, too.
Tor Christensen is a candidate for the Sitka Assembly. The municipal election is on October 5th. Tor, thanks very much.
Thank you.